Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday, February 18th. Very busy show tonight. Very busy. As I bring it to you from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I want to thank, of course, Keith Alexander for his contributions during the first hour as he was co-hosting with me. We covered wide variety of topics. Pat Buchanan's dismissal from MSNBC, Pat's response, our reply to that. The Jeremy Lin phenomenon taking hold in the NBA. We responded to an email from a critic, talked about the CFCC online chat and political cesspool virtual fan party and much, much more during the first hour, which will be available to you in the broadcast archives shortly after the live the conclusion of tonight's live show. I don't want to keep we have a couple of callers on the line. I want to get to them very I'm locked out of it right now. I think the problem was that there were so many people in it that it temporarily crashed. And I am trying to log back into the chat, as a matter of fact, and I'm locked out. I didn't know if that was a problem that was afflicting other people, but I believe the entire Council of Conservative Citizens website has crashed at the moment. I'm trying to go there. I'm here at the studio tonight trying to go there in two different browsers, and it seems to be completely down, saying that the Internet Explorer and Firefox cannot display the web page. I believe the cesspool has crashed the council. We'll keep you posted, but nevertheless, we will get to the callers because they have been waiting patiently. We have Todd on the line. Todd, you're on the air.
I am here, James, and I think the last time I talked to you folks was back in 2005 when David Duke was on. So it's been quite a while.
Hey, you've been around a long time, my friend. 2005 was nearly the beginning. We got started October 26, 2004. I'll never forget that night.
Well, we've traded Christmas cards over the years, too, every once in a while. So you guys keep up the good work down there. And I wanted to ask a specific question. I missed part of the first hour that you had, and I heard a discussion about Walt Disney and Sam Walton at Walmart. Was that a good opinion? Was it the guest that was talking about Sam Walton? Did he have a good opinion of Sam Walton and the Walmart company or not?
Well, I mean, it wasn't so much about Walmart, and thank you very much for the call, Todd. We appreciate you listening and appreciate you being such a long-time listener dating back to 2005. Now, I'll tell you what it was to answer your question. We had an email come in from a critic and saying that, we as the hosting staff shouldn't take credit for any inventions or technological advancements made by white people because they weren't white Southerners. This is what the person said. And basically what we were doing in that segment that you were asking about, I know you tuned in late, my co-host, Keith Alexander, was listing a number of very prominent Southerners who have contributed to society. And without getting into the pros and cons of Walmart, I mean, Sam Walton obviously revolutionized the supermarket industry, as did Clarence Saunders, a Memphian, and we talked about other Red State Americans who have contributed greatly to society, Walt Disney being one of them, and that is
right.
What the conversation was about during that segment. And again, this goes out to you and everyone else. It'll all be available in the broadcast archives shortly after the conclusion of tonight's show. And thanks again, Todd, for tuning in, my friend. We appreciate it.
But I wanted to bring your attention to this an issue that happened around 2004 with the Walton company, with Walmart, and I don't know if you're aware of this, James, or not. Some people have got to be. They're bound to be because it's out there. It's factual information. But I happen to have a favorable view of the Walton family. They're not Jewish. The Jews do not like them whatsoever. But going back to 2004, there someone discovered that in the book department of Walmart stores, that Walmart had placed the Protocols of Zion in the nonfiction section of their book department. And there became a, well, they were very upset at the ADL. And I understand that Foxman exchanged some letters with Walmart. And
I'm sure he did.
A hostile exchange between Walmart and the ADL.
Yeah, we have a very rich relationship with Abe Foxman, Dishonest Abe, and we've enjoyed every bit of it, let me tell you. And I'm sure he sent a letter. That's what he's very good at doing that. But anyway, again, my friend, thanks for calling in. We got to get to the next caller, but we will send me some information on that situation, and we'd love to cover it on a later broadcast. I know we got another caller, and I want to work you in before the end of this segment. caller, you're on the air. We have another caller, I believe, from, I want to say Wisconsin. Am I right?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Sorry for keeping you waiting. What can we do for you this evening?
Well, I'd like to offer a compliment first. You gentlemen really hold the line well there in every broadcast. And I wanted to, I just wanted to make a couple of brief comments. One is that, to me, conservatism is second only to genuine Christianity, so I compliment you on holding the line there very strongly.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. We're Christians first, and then whatever we are politically, that comes second, and I'd like to echo your sentiment there.
And I received an email, because I am a regular listener, and read the different links that you had there and the commentary about Pat Buchanan, so I would like to just encourage the listeners and yourself as well, and you may have even been at this event, but in August 11th, 1996, when he gave that stirring speech to keep the Republican Party in one piece,
right,
called The Conservatism of the Heart.
I remember.
That speech is more well worth reading now than it has been over the years, and it is posted and available just from typing in the words, The Conservatism of the Heart.
You know, I appreciate you bringing that up, my friend. One of the things, in light of Pat Buchanan's firing this week, and of course, as a regular listener, you'll know our relationship with Pat, I'm going to replay his speech from 1992, his most famous speech, his greatest oratory triumph from the Republican National Convention in 1992, when George Bush was running against Clinton. We're going to put that up on the website this week because, well, it should be there. And in this speech, you know, granted, I was only 12 years old when he gave that speech. But nevertheless, it led me to working for Pat in 1999 and 2000. And, of course, that led me to doing this radio show. So the rest is history, as they say. But you've got to remember the relics. And these were certainly gems that Pat Buchanan has littered throughout his career. We need to collect them and put them back out to a new audience. Thanks for the call. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. The CFCC chat room is back open again, folks. The servers have been refurbished. CFCC.org. Join me there now.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Available now at newsstands everywhere. the sovereign newspaper. It is time for you to read the most daring underground publication. Spreading the word through print, it seeks to enlighten a free people to be knowledgeable with current, important events and take action in their own communities to stop the New World Order agenda of one world government. This publication is so rogue and extremely daring that establishment sources and critics rarely give approval of its content. Featured articles by concerned citizens, prominent whistleblowers, and credible authors. The Sovereign Newspaper is a monthly, 32-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about current events in the age of Obama. The Sovereign Newspaper, available now at newsstands everywhere.
So, seen any good movies lately?
No, not really.
Why do you say it like that?
It's just that those movie trailers are so deceptive. You know, like, I'll see a commercial for something that looks like a really fun romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I go to the theater, and, well, that's $7.50 I'll never see again.
Disappointed?
Disgusted is a better word. Hey, I did finally find a way to know a movie's content before I go see it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there's this website, PluggedInMag.com, lets me choose the movies I want to see intelligently. It tells me what's good about a movie, what's bad. Not only that, but it does the same thing with music and TV shows. What's wrong?
Well, we just walked out of a movie last week. Makes me wish I'd checked it out first. Plugged In, huh?
PluggedInMag.com. Make sure you get the address right.
Visit PluggedInMag.com for current movie, music, and television reviews. PluggedInMag.com, helping you navigate through the maze of popular culture.
When the truth is found, to be... Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, want to remind you now that the Political Cesspool Online Chat and Virtual Fan Party is back and open at cfcc.org. There was a temporary server crash there at the website as a result of the traffic, apparently, but now we're back. And the chat room is beginning to fill back up, although we don't have nearly as many people now as we did in the first hour. But if you were there and you got kicked out, as I did, the whole website went down. Join us again. Rejoin us in the chat room at cfcc.org. Kyle Rogers, the webmaster of the Council of Conservative Citizens, does such a great job in hosting these chats for us. We did it for several months last year. We're doing it again now. So join us. We did it last week. We're doing it again this week. It's kind of resuscitated itself. CFCC.org. If you were in the chat room with us a few minutes ago and you got kicked out, come on back. It's open again. We're working our way through it. But listen, it's nice to have a crowd. Join the fellowship, sharing the conversation with other like-minded patriots at CFCC.org, or just go to thepoliticalcesspool.org and link over to the chat room. We have the direct link over to the chat room featured prominently there at the website. And keep in mind, we've got a very big third hour forthcoming. You don't want to miss it. The most salacious, the most jaw-dropping story we have ever covered on these airwaves. It's coming up tonight during the third hour. We have saved the most outrageous for last tonight. You can't make this up, folks. I don't even know where to begin, but it's all coming up during the third hour. So join us in the chat room and stay with us on the air all the way through the show this evening. Now, as a result of this story that we have coming up during the third hour, I had to bump two guests tonight, two guests that we had planned to be on the show. I said, listen, this is just too big. It's a major scandal. We've got to hit it now while it's breaking. We only own once a week, you know, here on the network. So anyway, that's coming up. But first, I'm going to work through a week's worth of blog entries at thepoliticalcesspool.org in 8 minutes. Watch me do it. What I had planned to cover over the course of an hour, I'm going to try to do in 8 minutes. So here we go. Number one, I got this story actually from Sam Bushman, the owner of Liberty News Radio Network, and of course the man who syndicates our show. He is also the host of the Liberty Roundtable broadcast, which is a great show airing every Monday through Friday. here on the network. You can get more information at libertyroundtable.com. But anyway, Victoria's Secret model quits over Christian beliefs. This is a good story. Kylie Basuti has taken a principled stand. At just 21 years of age, she is leaving Victoria's Secret, leaving the catwalk, because it does not conform with her Christian beliefs. She says she was reading the Bible. She's a Christian, and she was becoming more and more convicted about it. She says that her body should only be for her husband, and it's just a sacred thing. If you want to read the entire story and get a look at Kylie Basuti, let me tell you something. She's easy on the eyes, to say the least. Go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have it featured there as one of the top stories this week. In summation, I say, you know, good for Kylie. It's a good decision. I wish more girls shared her beliefs. I wish Alaska Airlines shared her beliefs, because Alaska Airlines is ending a time-honored tradition there of passing out prayer cards with meals. It seems as though Alaska Airlines is afraid of offending anyone, except for the Christians, of course, that they are offending. This story comes in from Reuters. Alaska Airlines, America's seventh largest carrier in terms of passenger traffic, said on Wednesday that it would end a decades-old tradition of handing out prayer cards with in-flight meals. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on here is that Alaska Airlines, and I've flown with them before, they serve the Pacific Northwest mainly, but if you were on a particularly long flight, or if you were a first-class passenger that was entitled to a meal, you would get a prayer card with your meal, a Bible verse, in other words. Well, they're stopping that now because, God forbid, that a radical Jewish atheist or a Muslim, for instance, have to deal with the torture of looking at a prayer, a Christian prayer. I mean, how dare Alaska Airlines attempt to mix church and transportation? Honestly, folks, as with everything in our politically correct society, a handful of malcontents get to ruin something nice for the rest of us. I mean, how many people truly were offended at the fact that they received a complimentary prayer card to help them digest their meal? As we all know, if you have 100 people and 99 people approve of something, and one person disapproves of it, you are far more likely to hear from that one person who's offended than the 99 people who either appreciate it or think nothing of it. Well, again, as I say, the handful of malcontents who complained about the prayer card have ruined something nice for the rest of us. We have this story and a complimenting video about Alaska Airlines retiring the prayer cards from their meal service at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Now, file this one in the not-so-shocking database. Samuel L. Jackson says he voted Barack Obama for one reason. There's only one reason Samuel L. Jackson voted for Barack Obama. It was because he was black. Samuel L. Jackson has confessed to Ebony Magazine, that Obama's race is what earned him his vote. Then he said that the Tea Party was racist for not voting for Obama because of his skin color. I mean, if that's not calling the pot calling the kettle black, I don't know what is. Samuel L. Jackson, for what it's worth, repeatedly dropped the N-word during his conversation with Ebony Magazine. So, again, as with the Pat Buchanan story that we found on Yahoo, they commended Color of Change, an organization who seeks to strengthen black America's political voice, for silencing Pat Buchanan because he appeared on our show, which seeks to cater to America's white political voice. You couldn't get a more egregious or textbook double standard. But here, we have seemingly matched it. Barack Obama says he voted for, Samuel Jackson says he voted for Obama only because he was black. Then he said white people were racist for not voting for him because of the same reason, as he repeatedly drops the N-word during his interview with Ebony Magazine. The only thing I ask is anyone surprised? Is anyone surprised? Read the entire article. We have it linked for you. Again, I'm trying to very quickly go through all of these stories that I normally would have taken a great amount of time on. I'm trying to get through them quickly because this show changes by the minute, and as news breaks, we have to cover it. But check out this story about Samuel L. Jackson at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Will Ron Paul be on the GOP ticket as vice president? A prominent Republican strategist entertains that notion of Ron Paul appearing as Mitt Romney's running mate. I actually discussed this with the aforementioned Sam Bushman on his very outstanding Liberty Roundtable broadcast last Wednesday. But we have the video for you here at thepoliticalcesspool.org, so be sure to consult with our official internet headquarters to take a look at it. Prominent GOP strategist says Ron Paul will be on the GOP ticket as Mitt Romney's number two. What do you think about that? Would you vote for a Romney-Paul ticket? Something to think about. I certainly think that I would be enticed to consider it, at the very least. Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket is out in a new Trigger the Vote ad that, well, as you might imagine, encourages people to register to vote. The NRA's Trigger the Vote campaign has launched. Check it out. I've always respected Arlie Ermey as an actor, and this ad was a lot more enjoyable to watch than the other one we ran on our website. To find out about it, you're just going to have to log on to thepoliticalcesspool.org. All that and much more we've covered this week. Folks, stay tuned. More to come as we come back from the break. And don't forget to join us in the online chat. It's back up and running after we crashed the server at cfcc.org. Join us now.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
For too long now, those whose ancestors carved from a vast wilderness an awe-inspiring extension of Western civilization have been without any semblance of political representation. Abandoned by the political establishment, we now face the prospect of losing our national identity, culture, and our way of life. But there is hope. There is still time to right these wrongs. And there is a vehicle to organize our people into a force capable of reclaiming America's destiny. The American Third Position is that vehicle. It's a political party for our people, led by extraordinary patriots like Bill Johnson, Kevin McDonald, and myself, James Edwards. Our ancestors, from the gates of Vienna to the sands of Iwo Jima, sacrificed their all in order to secure Providence's most precious gift, freedom. Now it's our turn. Learn more at the American Third Position website, American3P.org. That's American, the number three, the letter P.org. This is the American Third Position, American3P.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? surf on over to lighthouseliterature.com. A bright light for the right.
They don't cry. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to a very busy broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. We are so busy tonight. During that last segment, we worked an hour's worth of news. What we typically and normally would have taken an hour to cover, we worked it in about 10 minutes. And, of course, we didn't do it its full justice, but we gave you at least an idea of what we wanted to bring to the table tonight. Breaking news, big scandal. We're going to get to that in the third hour when Eddie the Bombardier Miller joins me as co-host. But anyway, one of the biggest stories tonight was Pat Buchanan being officially fired from MSNBC, as we all know. Keith Alexander and I covered this and offered our response to his firing during the first hour. Thanks to the incredible amount of media coverage that it generated, I have no doubt that most of my fans have now listened to Pat Buchanan's most recent interview on the Political Cesspool Radio program, which occurred back in October when he was on to promote his newest bestseller, Suicide of a Superpower. But have you ever heard Pat Buchanan's first interview on the Political Cesspool radio program? Pat's debut appearance on TPC occurred on September 16, 2006, when he appeared to promote his then-current book, State of Emergency. Now, I know we have new listeners who are tuned in tonight who didn't or who weren't fans of the show 6 years ago. So for their benefit, on a night that we celebrate all that Pat Buchanan is and the hero he has been to our people, we're going to replay the entire interview with you, the interview that I conducted with Pat Buchanan from 2006 on this show, right now. Enjoy it, folks, and join us in the online chat at cfcc.org.
Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
The presidential candidate and best-selling author, he has just released a new book entitled The State of Emergency, The Third World Invasion and Conquest of America. Pat, coming from two guys who worked on your last campaign and served as your delegates in Long Beach, California, welcome to the Political Cesspool. We're very honored to have you. Can you hear us?
I can hear you clear.
All right. Well, Pat, I wanted to begin the interview by asking you just a very simple question. What prompted you to write this book about the illegal alien invasion of America?
Well, the issue had become current again. Folks were arguing about it in Congress. And my publisher came to me and said, do something on a subject you've dealt with for years. And so I decided to write a book which would go much further and deeper than the simple numbers of the invasion that's taken place and look at the consequences of the diseases, of the crime coming in, of the overwhelming threat to the culture, and to project those out and see what America would look like in 2050, and then to go back and take a look at this Mexican immigration closely, because these folks believe the Southwest belongs to them, and then to look at Europe, and finally to put it all in the context of all of Western civilization in its final throes, if you will. The final things that a civilization goes through are unresisted invasions and the decomposition of the countries, and I'm afraid that's what's happening. So what I wanted to do is make this sort of a sequel to Death of the West.
Yes, there are some very underlying themes that are very similar with Death of the West. And one of the things that resonated with me most clearly was something you stated in your new book. And you said that if the culture dies, the country dies. You've also said in other interviews that Americans need common language, common history, and common heroes. Why is that so important?
Well, I think the question comes down to the great debate of whether we are simply a nation of abstract ideas, democracy, freedom, free markets, equality, or whether we are more than that, whether we are a rooted people and a nation with our own culture and history and heritage and heroes and language and literature and law and traditions and mores. These are the things to me that make us one people. We may be African American, we may be Irish, we may be German, Eastern European, Jewish, but we have something in common. That's the common culture, that which makes life worth living. And my feeling is we are being invaded by people of different cultures, and if we do not assimilate and Americanize them into our own cultures, we will wind up with two, three, many cultures. And when that happens, the country breaks down into two, three, many countries. We're seeing that happen in the Balkan Peninsula, where people have lived together for years, but now, without Tito there, without any authoritarian regime, they are all coming apart and going to war with one another. I think that is what we are risking. So I disagree with the neoconservatives and the liberals who say, well, we don't have anything in common except the fact that we have a constitution. I don't believe that. I think America's much more than that.
Newt Gingrich has declared that we are in World War III, and we continue to hear the debates about the war on terror. But the result of the culture war is obviously what's going to decide our fate. Just to give an example, today on the Disney Channel, they're proclaiming Hispanic Heritage Month, and they're going to show movies in the Spanish language using English subtitles. And you can talk all about the war on terror and World War III, but if we lose the culture war, we lose our country.
Well, we do. Let me give you a couple of figures. I mean, Iraq is a dreadful war, but we have lost fewer people in Iraq than we lost during the Filipino insurrection from 1899 to 1902. We have lost no one to terrorism since 9/11, no one here in the United States. However, we've had 6 million abortions, and there are probably 6 million immigrants or 8 million immigrants, half of them illegal, have entered this country. That is what's going to determine whether or not this nation survives as one country and one people. I mean, Iraq could be a disaster for the United States, but we could survive that. We cannot survive a bifurcated culture or a heavily Hispanicized culture tilting toward Mexico, dominant in the entire American Southwest from Los Angeles all the way to Brownsville. I think that's the beginning of the end of the United States.
Well, and this is certainly a matter of life and death, and I don't think that's putting it too bluntly. This is our very civilization is in peril, and when you talk about the people who are responsible for this, I think you got to go straight to the top and look at the people in Congress, the president even, the Republican and Democratic duopoly. And the GOP, a traditional conservative base, or at least in theory, they have even aided and abetted in this lawlessness. They have been, in my opinion, derelict in their duties, upholding their constitutional mandate to secure our borders. Pat, what explains our political paralysis in dealing with this vital issue?
Well, one reason is the corporate power, which has been globalized. These are no longer really American companies. They're global companies, and they want the right to go abroad and hire workers, to bring workers in to undercut American wages so they can get rid of the benefits and the pensions. And they pay the tuition of both parties on the Hill. They're demanding an amnesty and a full pardon for themselves for having participated in this massive corruption and criminality. And there is a full pardon for business in the Senate bill. There is the fear on the part of Bush and Rove and the others that we will antagonize the ethnic lobbies, the Hispanics will be angry with us and they won't vote for us. And because the white folks in America are diminishing as a share of the population, if we lose the rising Hispanic minority, we lose the future. There's that fear, but there's also something called guilt. I mean, many baby boomers have been marinated in a belief that America was basically a genocidal, imperial, slave-holding, brutal nation, and that we are full of sin, and that we have to do penance and make restitution to peoples of color here in America and all over the world. And this sense of guilt, I think, paralyzes today's establishment in a way that, for example, Eisenhower or Andrew Jackson or even Woodrow Wilson did not hesitate when he had difficulties with the Mexicans to occupy Veracruz or send General Pershing down there to chase Pancho Villa with 12,000 troops. So I think we've got a paralyzed government when it comes to dealing with this menace.
And Pat, it seems like, too, that the GOP, which controls both houses of the legislature and the executive branch, are more concerned with the almighty dollar than anything else.
Well, they are. I mean, this is that's who pays room, board, and tuition, and the beer money for the Boys on the Hill.
Well,
they, without all that money, you know, these guys, you cut Junior's ATM card off at college, and that's it. And that's what these fellows are into.
Well, you're talking about the overcompensation of perceived guilt with regards to racial problems in America, but is this overcompensation that the GOP seems to be embedded in, will this one day prove to be their death knell? I mean, you've stated statistical facts in your book that the majority of GOP voters are indeed European Americans or white Americans, and if we become just another minority in America, what happens to the Republican Party then?
Well, it becomes a retirement.
All right, let's pause it right there, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take a break. We're going to resume our conversation with Pat Buchanan, our first conversation with Pat Buchanan, right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
America is in trouble.
Washington is a disgrace.
Government has become too big. It's overtaxing, overspending.
We need to change direction.
We really need change.
We can't afford to make the same mistakes we've made in the past.
Mitt Romney's reputation as a flip-flopper.
He went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
There is need for economic stimulus.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
This election is about trust.
There's been one true, consistent candidate, and that's Dr. Ron Paul.
Ron Paul has been so consistent from the very beginning.
He seems like a more honest candidate.
He tells the truth about what he believes, whether you like it or not.
He's never once voted for a tax increase, never once voted for an unbalanced budget.
Ron Paul's plan is bold, cuts five departments. It's what we need.
When he says he's going to cut $1 trillion in the first year, I believe it.
If you don't like how things are going and tired of politicians, he's something different.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul.
Is the one we've been looking for.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards in studio tonight. We're doing something a little bit different, something we certainly don't normally do during a live broadcast. We are paying tribute to Pat Buchanan tonight. Pat Buchanan, our good friend, a man who has joined us on the broadcast on several occasions. Of course, everyone remembers his most recent visit to the Political Cesspool. Pat Buchanan was with us in October to promote his latest bestseller, Suicide of a Superpower. And tonight, as we party with the people in the online chat at cfcc.org, by the way, folks, the chat is up and running again at cfcc.org. We temporarily had an overload there of visitors, but they are streaming back in. It's back up and running. Join us now. Join the conversation as you listen to the show at cfcc.org. But we're listening to our first interview with Pat Buchanan. Again, I said it's something we don't normally do. We very rarely play any previous broadcast during the live show of the Political Cesspool, but we're doing it tonight in honor of Pat Buchanan, who on Thursday was fired by MSNBC. We are saluting a man who was a true hero of our people and revisiting his first visit to TPC, which occurred in September of 2006. Before that last commercial break, we paused it. I was asking Pat, what happens to the Republican Party if they don't start going after the white voting base who elects their candidates? What happens to the Republican Party if the Republicans continue to go after blacks and illegal aliens? And Pat Buchanan answered, they will become a retirement home. Let's listen now to the conclusion of that interview from 2006.
Listen, there's no doubt about it. Look, right now, Americans of European descent, who were 89% of the country in 1960, are now down to 67%. But they're 82% of all the voters, and Hispanics, who are 14% of the country, were only 6% of the voters. So white voters outnumber Hispanics 13-1, or better than that. Now, which is easier to do, to get 2% more of the white vote, or to take your Hispanic vote from 35% to 60%? It is obvious. We've never gotten 60% of the Hispanic vote, but Nixon got 67% of the white vote, and Reagan got 64%. So if you're going to talk ethnicity, you go hunting, as Senator Goldwater said, where the ducks are. And these folks are letting go of the big duck pond and going into the little duck pond where they're not doing very well.
Well, certainly they are. And Pat, as you well know, I mean, you've done so well. You've been America's leading populist conservative spokesman for a number of decades now. In your campaigns, in your books, you have articulated the problems that come with our misguided ideas on these issues. I think the problems are clearly defined. But one thing we never hear about too often are the solutions. What are the solutions? What can America First constitutionalists out there, the working class, middle American, what can we do to help ourselves? Is it through political process, or what should we do to take control and take our country back?
Well, I think the solutions, we can solve this problem of illegal immigration if you've got, you know, men of authority who are unapologetic, and who are not morally intimidated, and who you can't get in their face and shake them and make them back away. And then if you've got to get those kinds of leaders and get rid of these trimmers and these basically politically correct people who basically want to look good in the New York Times, and you got to get rid of those folks. But the way to stop the invasion is simple: a moratorium on all immigration, 2,000-mile security fence, crack down on businesses, especially big businesses that hire hundreds and thousands of illegals, cut off the welfare like they did in California with Prop 187 before some federal judge threw it out, and then stop this scam of women coming into the country and having their babies and having them be anchor babies entitled to a lifetime of benefits and entitling their parents to stay here in the United States.
Pat, education, too, is such a pivotal part. You talk about kids being taught from the Santa Anita point of view regarding the Mexican-American War. And I'll quickly share a story that was in the Civil War Courier with you. This little boy was in Cumberland Gap wanting to know about Daniel Boone. And this lady came up and told him that he was an evil white man who stole the Indians' land and then went out to the Alamo, which was in Kansas or California or someplace like that, and stole all the Mexicans' land. Now, you know, when you're facing that,
right.
Here in the United States, I mean, not only do we need defense, not only do we need the moratorium, but we need education of our own children to stop all of this.
Well, you know, it's a real tragedy, and I wrote in Death of the West, the history, American children are not taught history, and in a way, they're ignorant of the history, but they're being deprived, too, of something magnificent and great. We have a great and glorious history in this country. Obviously, every nation has made its mistakes in its history, but ours is a tremendous history. You know, they took 10 colleges of the top universities in the country. They took the seniors, 55 of the seniors, I think it was 550 in all, and they asked them a simple, almost a junior high school test, you know, who was the general in the Revolutionary War, and it came out MacArthur and Grant, and I like the one that said, "Why, hey Pat, why were all the Civil War battles fought in National Park?"
My wife is a school teacher, so I've heard a lot of those kind of stories.
And let me tell you, you're talking to two SCB members. I believe you are one as well, Mr. Buchanan. Don't get us started on the war between the states. That's a whole other interview. But I know we only have a couple of minutes left, about 2 minutes left. I want to quickly ask you two more questions. Why is it important that all truly paleoconservatives, true American populist, have a copy of your latest book, and that is State of Emergency, the Third World Invasion and Conquest of America? Why do our people need to be educated?
Well, they need to know that their country and civilization are in peril, as is Europe. And the depiction and description in there in depth is backed up by statements, it's backed up by facts, it's backed up by statistics. And secondly, they ought to know that it is not hopeless, that there is a solution if we all pull together, and we've got the country with us this time, and we've got the politicians on the run, and we are close to, I think, some kind of victory if we get rid of them and get in some real patriotic Americans. I still think this country can be saved, but we are on the precipice, and that's why I would tell them to read the book.
Well, I thank you so much for writing this book. And my last question is this. You know, we've had several guests on this program that stressed the need and the importance of Americans to have heroes. I know many people out there who have voted for you in your presidential runs look to you as somewhat of a hero. Where does Pat Buchanan go from here? What's next for you?
Well, I don't know. We tried the route of the Republican Party, and I think we had our best shot in 96, but where we almost one more victory, one more knockdown of Dolan, I think I would have gotten the nomination. I might not have been able to beat Clinton, who was very strong in that year. But and then we tried the third party route in 2000, and it failed. So I think the political road has been closed for me, and I just think we need to find a young leader who doesn't carry the scar tissue and things I do, and who can raise some money, and maybe who's already in the political process. But I've been looking for him, and I haven't found him, to be honest.
Well, we'll continue to keep our eyes open, and in the meantime, you continue to do your important work. And again, as I said, on behalf of Jess Bonds and myself, two guys who have worked on your presidential campaigns, best of luck to you with the book. I know it's fast on its way to becoming another national bestseller. And before you go, I know Jess has one more thing to say.
Pat, the next time you're in Memphis, come on down. The barbecue will be on us.
Okay, thank you, fellas.
Thank you again for your time. Pat Buchanan.
You take it easy, right. Bye-bye.
We're going to do so. Pat Buchanan, the presidential candidate and best-selling author. His latest book is State of Emergency, the Third World Invasion and Conquest of America.
All right, everybody. That was a replay of our first interview ever with Pat Buchanan on the Political Cesspool Radio program. It occurred in September of 2006. Of course, Pat has made more appearances on the show since then, including his most recent visit with us. Of course, the very well-publicized visit he shared with us in October of 2011, last October, in other words. But I hope you enjoyed that. And normally, I never play clips from previous broadcasts during a live show, but under the circumstances of our good friend being fired from MSNBC, I wanted to go way back. I wanted to go back 5.5 years, and it's hard to believe it's been 5.5 years. Hard to believe that 5.5 years have passed since that night, but they have. And for the benefit of all of the new listeners who enjoy our show now who weren't with us there during the early years, I wanted to replay our first interview with Pat tonight, and I hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. And I certainly remember that night. It was a good night. If you don't recognize the other voice that was with me, that was former Political Cesspool co-host Jess Bonds, who sat in with me in the studio that night nearly 6 years ago. And thankfully, folks, our extensive library of broadcast archives are littered with gems just like that, that are always available for your listening pleasure. Keep in mind, folks, that our complete library of broadcast archives dating back to 2004, when it all started for us, are once again free of charge. All you got to do is go to thepoliticalcesspool.org. Once there, you'll find that the archive shows are broken down into four sub-areas. But again, all of our broadcasts archives can be found at thepoliticalcesspool.org, and we've subdivided them into four different eras, if you will, to help you navigate. They're all there. You'll be enriched to browse through them, and thanks to Liberty News Radio and Sam Bushman for making them again available to our audience free of charge. We're going to take a break. While we're going to this break, join us at the Political Cesspool chat room at cfcc.org. And when we come back, the most salacious story we have ever brought to the airwaves, a major scandal. We're going to be covering it during the entire third hour. Folks, we've saved the best for last. Stay tuned. I'll be back.